Amen. You can be seated for just a moment. Amen. Giving you an update on our jail service we had today. What a great move of the Holy Ghost we had. Sister Benton and Sister Ken were both able to be with us, and it does help when you have a piano player in there. It does help. But even without a piano player, when we sing a cappella, that same move of God comes in. And what an awesome service we had today. We had several men just under the presence of God weeping. Amen. And we prayed with them. And they didn't quite get the Holy Ghost, but they're taking steps towards it. And that's what we want. We've seen many people come from the jail ministry. May not have been actually in the jail, but from that ministry, people have come to the church. And we're thankful for it. And so we've had three services today at the jail. We did have to get out a little early today, but that's all right. The past week we had five, and the week before that we had six. And so God is doing great things in there, in those services. We have many that are wanting to be baptized, and so we're going to be working it out with the jail officials. And we don't just baptize to get them wet underwater. We tell them all the time, it's not about that. We tell them, you need to know why you're getting baptized. And so we teach why we baptize. There's a board in the jail. And so I don't want nobody thinking that we're just dunking them just to get a number. That's not what we do. But we want them to know and understand what baptism is. And we teach them a lot there in the jail. Sister Kristen can attest. She's been able to go in. And that board, sister, is still there from the summer. They have not erased it again. And so they've erased it before, but it has been there since the summer. And it's affected a lot of folks. Pastor told the story. Little Jeremiah, he's in children's church, began to read that board while visiting a family member there. And from that, he desired to be baptized. And so that board is doing some work. Even though we're not there, people are seeing it in visitation. And it tells them what repentance is, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. It goes through all those steps. We have scriptures wrote there. And it may be the reason why we had signs put up in the visitation area, no phones. I don't know if they were trying to, give a code message to somebody or if they were taking pictures of that board. But I hope it's they're taking pictures of that board, and that's why. So, but we're excited about what God is doing there in the county jail, and the move of the Holy Ghost we feel there. And I'm telling you, God's God anywhere. The presence that you feel, amen, at home, the presence you feel here is that presence that can be felt there. And I tell them all the time, it's no different. And the same way that you can get the Holy Ghost here, you can get it in jail, the same way they get it overseas. It doesn't matter. We serve a God that's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I want to give honor to Pastor in his absence. I'm thankful for him allowing me to come and teach the Word of God today. And we're going to be teaching out of Apostolic Foundations book by Brother Kuhn. And what a tremendous Bible study it's been. Me and Brother Will are now on lesson 31. And so what a great resource that is, and I'm excited to be able to be teaching it, because not only am I teaching it, but I'm gleaning from it. Anytime you get into the Word of God and you just begin to study the Word of God, you'll get something out of it. Even if you're teaching, you'll still get something out of it. And so me and Brother Will look up words, or sometimes I say things incorrectly, and my brother will help me out. Brother Will's a good word man, and so he knows his words, and I appreciate this brother, and me and him are being able to do this Bible study. So, but I'm thankful for Pastor and him allowing me to be able to come and teach. I've been feeling this. God has put this lesson on my heart three times. I was going to preach a message, and I could not go that direction. God kept pulling me to this. So if you could all stand and go to the Word of the Lord. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and beginning at verse number 32. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 32. When you got it, say amen. Amen. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 32 through 34. If after manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me? If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to minister in this service tonight. We thank you for this time that we could come together and join, Lord Jesus, and worship God. We thank you for the opportunity to come and lift you up. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. And after service, if you would like, I do have some copies of the lesson. There's about 20, actually 19 here. And so I already given one out. So if you want a copy of it, please come and get it. It is a good resource for you to have. And if you want to teach it, it's also a good lesson to teach. So I want to talk today on the lesson title is Evil Communications Corrupt Good Manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The interesting subject of the resurrection is extensively dealt with in 1 Corinthians 15. Along with this vital subject, many other pertinent truths are revealed within the confines of this chapter. Nestled in verse 33, it is our subject. Nestled in verse 33 is our subject at hand, and that's evil communications corrupt good manners. At first glance, this verse seems misplaced in relation to the resurrection. Upon closer examination, we see that it is a vital link in our preparation for the first resurrection. Though all will be resurrected, not all will come forth to the resurrection of life. Some will come forth to the resurrection of damnation. I don't know about you, but I want to make heaven my home. I want to make heaven my home. And so I want to be ready to meet the Lord. I want to have my life ready. I want to be walking right. I want my manners and my conversation and my deeds to be right. And so I want, amen, to make heaven my home. Let us consider carefully the correlation of our subject to being prepared for the first resurrection. So the definition of communication in this context is a little different. This word does not refer to speech, but it means a group of companions, company, crowd, or gang. Manners in the context, this word does not refer to etiquette, but it means customs, morals, or character. Preceding the statement is a strong warning. Be not deceived. This passage leaps out at us, telling us that we need to be on guard and alert, for a danger lurks nearby. We have to have our guard up in this world that we're living in. Amen. We don't need to put our guard down, but as Pastor says, we need to begin to put on the whole armor of God every morning. Amen. You need to pray, Lord, guard my mind. Help me, Lord Jesus. Help me put on the belt of truth, that my feet, amen, are shod with the preparation of the gospel. Pastor's giving out coins with this. And he's encouraging you to pray and put on the whole armor of God, because we got to protect ourselves. In short, we must not be tricked into allowing evil associates to corrupt and destroy our Christian character. Let me say that again. We must not be tricked into allowing evil associates to corrupt and destroy our Christian character. Tremendous influences exert themselves in our environment. As an analogy, many animals tend to take on the color and hue of their habitat. I think of a lizard when I think of that. And there's an old quote that says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Because the people you hang around, the people you'll be around, are those that will influence you. It is often said that after years of marriage, now husbands don't look at your wives, couples begin to look like each other. It is clear that we are influenced by what goes on around us. We are influenced by what goes on around us. So let me ask you this question. What have you been around? Don't answer it out loud. But what have you been around? Does it show through your behavior? Does it show through your actions? Does it show through your speech? Does it show in how you act? How you walk? Amen. So our name is our reputation. These are valuable assets developed through years of effort and discipline. We must exercise utmost caution as we guard them diligently. It's so true. Used to, you would give a man your word and admit something. Now it's been broken down, it doesn't mean nothing. Used to, way back when, they would say, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm the son of so-and-so. And your name meant something. Not so much anymore. Excuse me. Not so much anymore. You see, you could shake somebody's hand and that was like a signed document. That was an agreement. Not so much anymore. Our world has watered down a whole lot of things and become worse and worse. And so these are valuable assets developed through years of effort and discipline. We must exercise utmost caution as we guard them diligently. A good name in Proverbs 22 and 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor, rather than silver and gold. In Ecclesiastes 7 and 1, a good name is better than precious ointment. A reputation. In Ecclesiastes 10 and 1, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doeth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. We must always remember that day by day and brick by brick, a little by little, we are building a name and a reputation, amen, in our life and in these following areas. In the church, among our peers, in the church, whether it be ministry or laity, we are building, amen, ourselves a name. I don't want to be known as the gossip of the church. I don't want to be known as the backbiter in the church. I don't want to be known as the lazy one in the church, because you are building a name for yourself and people are watching. Our young folks are watching. Our elders are watching. What kind of name are you building for yourself? And so the church, among our peers in the church, whether it be ministry, laity, we are building ourselves a name. The world, we are also known outside the church. Does our reputation in the world match our professed Christianity? Can people know you at work as a Christian? Do you live it at home? Do you live it at work? Are you just a professing Christian? I don't want to just be Christian by name, but I want to be Christian by my walk. I want to be Christian by my walk because the world sees you. They know whether or not you're in the break room around those guys telling dirty jokes, whether or not you're doing what you need to be doing, or you're out back smoking a cigarette. The world knows. They see you. So what are you portraying? Are you letting them know that you're a Christian or not? So everyone is subject to corruption. Everyone is susceptible to corruption. Both inside and outside influences can corrupt good manners. We must take steps to preserve our position with God and humanity. Not only is it important to build a good name, it is also essential to maintain a good name. There are five basic areas of influence. Many things influence our lives. The following five topics cover the spectrum of agencies that mold our lives and help to determine our destinies. And there's a little song, and for some reason it's popped up a lot here lately. Where's Sister Becky at? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And it says it again, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is watching down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Then there's another part. It says, oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little eyes. Oh, be careful, little ears. For the Father up above is watching down in love. Oh, be careful. I want to be careful what I put before me. And so one of the five basic areas of influence is what we see. This category is not primarily with society's call, what society causes us to see, but what we purposefully view. You can't avoid a billboard that you drove by, but you can avoid what you're looking at on your phone. You can avoid what you're looking at on your tablet or on your computer. A familiar saying expresses the great influence of what we see. A picture is worth a thousand words. You got to be careful what you put in front of you. Be careful what your eyes see. Guard yourself. The enemy wants nothing more than to take you down. And if this is the cause of it, throw it out. I don't want to go to hell, but I want to make heaven my home. The next one is, oh, be careful, little eyes, what we hear. What we hear is the next one. Again, this category is not primarily society's din and shouting of obscenities, but what we purposefully seek out and relish, enjoy, and dwell upon and repeat. What CD do you have in your car? What's on your iTunes list? What's on your Spotify? What are you listening to? What are you ingesting? Next one is what we think. Here we do not refer to the passing foolish thoughts that Satan or our environment injects into our minds, but what we dwell upon, what we revel in. And that means, I had to look up that word, and it's enjoy oneself in a live and noisily way, especially with drinking and dancing. Determined to carry out after planned thinking. What are you dwelling on? It's not a sin until you think about it and dwell on it. Something passes before your eyes, you can't help that. That happens. But when you begin to think on it and dwell on it and have thoughts about it, that's when it becomes sin. The next one is what we read. Due to its influence upon the character, we must regulate our planned, purposeful ingestion of printed materials over what we have absolute control. We have to be careful what we read. I was at the jail today, and fortunately, that library cart, is majority trash books. A majority of it is those love story books, the soap opera books, if I can put it that way. Many of you adults know what I'm talking about, that are not good for anybody to ingest. If you're reading a fiction novel and it begins to have cuss words in it, I believe you should put that book down, throw it in the trash can. If it's not becoming of God, you need to get rid of it, because it'll influence you. It'll work on you. So don't get caught up in those things that you're reading, and don't be reading things you don't need to be. Be careful what printed material you put in front of your eyes. It's not good for you. It's not good for you. Number five, what company we keep. This phrase does not describe the casual acquaintance from school, job, or society, but mentors, idols, friends, buddies, your intimate circle of associates. They become a measure of what we are. They become a measure of what we are. Here is the focal point of our subject. We got to be careful of the people we hang out with, those ones we call friends. You have to be. You have to guard yourself. Because you'll think, I'm winning them, brother. I'm doing good. But really, they're winning you. Really, they're pulling you, because you become more and more a part of their group. And as you're going out and now you're hanging out with them and doing those things, you have to be careful for the company that you keep. So our associates, one of the most influential forces in our life is the company that we keep. Not passing acquaintances, but those with whom our spirit and personality become comfortable and whose presence and company we enjoy. Pastor said it before, just because I feel comfortable with somebody and I enjoy their company doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean it's right. So be careful. You might like to hang out with them, but that may not be a good thing that you do. There are people that have personalities that are just easily drawn to, but they're not good company. So I want to, you know, just put that warning out there. Be careful. Be careful, because it will draw you in. Before you know it, you'll be talking like them. You'll be gossiping like them, and you might even say a word that you ain't supposed to. So be careful. To a great extent, this group of communication will dictate to us verbally and non-verbally what we do with other four basic areas of influence in our lives. The very habits of our lives are affected and oftentimes altered by our associates. Proverbs 13 and 20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." I don't know about you, but I don't want to be hanging out with a bunch of people I'm not supposed to, because they'll destroy me. They won't do any good for me. I want to be around people that are going to be an influence of positiveness in my life, that are going to be wise, that are going to direct me, that if they see me straying, they're going to step on my toes. And that's all right. It may hurt, but I need it. I need it. Amen. So a once wise, wealthy, well-known man who knew the sharp truth of the latter part of this verse gave us this warning. The following examples stress this truth. Lot's family in Sodom. The final outcome of the influence of Sodom on Lot's family was devastating in Genesis 13 and 19. Samson, Delilah and Samson's love for her led to his fall and death. You got to be careful. I'm going to hope I say this name right. Amnon. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. In 2 Samuel 13, 1 through 3, Jonadab exerted a strong negative influence upon Amnon's life. Be careful who you hang out with. Solomon. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin? But these things, yet among many nations, was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all of Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish woman cause to sin. In Nehemiah 13 and 26, what a sad epitaph. So it means ending for such a great man. Think of an Obed. What a sad ending for such a great man. Judas Iscariot. His betrayal of Jesus could have been averted through many means, of which would have been cutting off his association with Jesus' enemies. You know what that tells me? You can come to church, look like the part, act like the part, but you can be still hanging out with the world. Judas was with Jesus, walked with him, but yet he didn't cut the ties of those enemies. He entertained it. He thought on it. He listened to them. He seen them. Amen. We like sheep go astray. So often we tend to sin. Our nature is corrupt. We are so easily influenced. Will we join the parade of casualties to become another statistic of failure simply because we choose the wrong company? Are you going to choose the wrong company when you know to do right? Just because you think it's pleasurable? Just because you think it's fun? But yet that fun is leading you further and further from God. I don't want to get comfortable, amen, just because those people have a personality that I like. I don't want to get comfortable around them just because they're cool. Amen. I want to, amen, follow Jesus. Many people have begun to look up to these, what they call influencers on YouTube, and they listen to them. They don't know nothing about you. But yet they're influencing your life, and you feel like they're your friend. They're talking into your life because you're listening to everything they say. I know I'm jumping on that, but that's just what I feel. You got to cut those voices off. If they're not a voice of God coming from your pastor, ignore it. If they're not a voice of God coming from your man of God, shut it off. Because what's going to happen is you're going to go to them for the answer you want to hear when your pastor's already told you the answer you need to hear. I don't want to go to somebody just because I want to hear a different answer than what my pastor gave me is right. What my pastor gave me is what I need. And so be careful. Separation. Separation is a biblical doctrine. I know it may not be popular. It may not be something you like. But sometimes we have to separate. Although scorned by people outside the church and even some inside, restriction, bondage, and legalism, quarantine is an age-old method for stopping the spread of communicable diseases. Self-imposed quarantines against spiritually distractive devices must be a part of our lives. And immediately when I read this earlier, I began to think of technology, Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is you're on, phone, and sometimes we have to put it to the side. We have to quarantine ourselves from those things. Face it. There are some things we are going to have to deny ourselves. There are some places we cannot go, some things we cannot do, and some people with whom we cannot associate. When the Lord saved me, I didn't go to the barroom. Y'all looking at me like laughing, but when I was little, my grandpa would take me to the barroom. I'd go shoot pool while he drank. I don't go there to play pool. I don't go there to do games. Why? Because the Lord saved me. There's some places you can't go. There's some things you can't do. There's some people you're going to have to cut off. There's some relationships you're going to have to sever. And so we do not develop strength of character to eliminate some. If we do not develop strength of character to eliminate some things from our lives, they will destroy us. They will destroy us. Israel did not purify the Canaanites. The Canaanites corrupted Israel. Everyone believes in separation to some degree. The problem is that we tend to shun only the worst influences while allowing others to affect us. We tend to shun the big ones, but the little ones, it's okay. Oh, that music every once in a while is all right. Or, you know, doing that every so often is okay. When I go see my family, it's all right to do the things they do. When I go on vacation, it's okay to do what I want, act like I want. God still sees. God still sees. Amen. So some things and some people are best left alone. Left alone. Many activities are not evil in themselves, but we must shun the ungodly crowd with its corruptive influences that accompanies the activities. And there's many scriptures in here. When I give you the lesson, you can go back and read over. Somewhere and sometime, with God's help, we must decide and define for ourselves who and what we want to be. That is, what crowd we will be numbered with, what reputation we will bear, and what name we will carry. More than time and life are at stake here. These things will shape our eternal destiny. Amen. We need to choose wisely. Amen. It shouldn't be a hard decision, because we know one decision leads us to hell and the other one leads us to Jesus. I know it may be hard to cut off some things, but go ahead and cut them off. I know it may be hard to quit doing some things, but go ahead and quit doing it, because I want to make heaven my home. No matter how much it is, I want to make, amen, heaven my home. My brain keeps going back. When I was little, I was praying, and I think it scared my dad, which he's still not living for the Lord, and I still pray for him. But I was saying, Lord, whatever it takes, God, to get my dad in church, whatever it takes. And I guess he must have heard me. Because he said, are you sure that's what you want? He said, what if I lose a leg? And it didn't affect me until I was older, but that prayer really does. Whatever it takes. God, if you have to take both legs, get them in church. Whatever it takes, I want them to be saved. Whatever it takes, you want to make heaven your home. Whether that's cutting off those best friends of yours or burning that CD you got in the radio or whatever it is, or thumb drive, or y'all have it all on iTunes and stuff now. Get rid of all that. You want to make heaven your home because you want to, amen, you want to allow godly things to shape in your life, your eternal destiny, not worldly things. So life's vital areas, five vital areas of our lives affect our manners or character and determine what and who we are. Where we have the power of choice, we must be extremely cautious and selective. We must give priority to the right choices in the light of the in the light of the resurrection. Parents, our parents give us the elementary and fundamental principles of life. Here we have no choice, but children do have an obligation to obey their parents in the Lord. The book of Proverbs gives much good instruction for parents and children. Parents are responsible to restrict their children's associates. So don't get mad when mom and dad say no. Teenagers, you know, young folks. And I'll take it even a step further. If you're still living under their roof, you're still under them. If you're still under their house, obey them. Amen. I don't care if you're 18 or you're 21. If you're still living at home, mama says you can't, you can. That's it. You want to go live and do wrong, then get your own house and get your own money, your own car and all that. I don't mean that to be ugly, but it's best to obey your parents. Dating, no matter how innocent the relationship may be, dating is a prelude to marriage. I don't think you should be dating unless you're serious about marrying that person that you're talking to. Or courting, whatever word you'd like to use. You don't need to get into it unless you're going to marry them. We don't date just to date, just to say, oh, I dated them, and that's my boyfriend, that's my girlfriend. No, that's not right. And so, whom people date may well determine their spiritual well-being as well as future happiness. Christians to date only those who have proven themselves to be faithful Christians. Go a step further, too. Don't talk to nobody if pastor says no. If pastor says no, it's no. Even if mom and daddy like him, if pastor says no, side with your pastor. I've heard a lot of stories of things happening because parents thought it was okay, but pastor saying, hey, I want to guard my sheep. Always follow your man of God. Amen. So be careful who you date. It will shape in you. So they should date only those who are spiritual, not those who just profess it. You have a lot of people that will say they're a Christian, but they don't have no fruit. You have a lot of people that will say, oh, I go to a Pentecostal church. Let me tell you something. That don't mean nothing. Nothing. I don't care if they go to Pentecostal, Apostolic, whatever it is. If they go to the strictest church, that don't mean nothing. You need to tell that person, hey, I'm going to talk to my pastor. And he's going to talk to your pastor. And generally, pastors will talk to each other. And then pastor will find out if that young man really is dedicated to God or if he's just doing his own thing. And so, be careful. So you should only date those who are actually spiritual, not those who just profess it. Not those who just profess it. Parents exercise a guiding hand here, but young people, too, must be discriminately selective regarding whom they date. And in marriage, we make lifelong vows of commitment to one other person, to moral purity, and to God. The person we marry has an immeasurable effect on our spiritual manners. Our companion can make or break us physically, spiritually, and financially. By his or her conduct, a couple should commit themselves to enhancing each other in every aspect of life. Poor marriage partners destroyed Herod, Solomon, Ahab, and Haman. Be it far from us as Christians to do less than our best for our companions. And again, it jumps back to your social life. Every person, no matter how introverted he or she may be, has a certain degree of contact with society. We can become an influence for God upon our job, associates, friends, neighbors, and family. Christians are the salt of the earth. We must not let our social contacts influence us for evil. Rather, we should influence them for good. Amen. We need to be a positive influence on the job. When they see you, they need to go, hey, I got a prayer request, because they know you pray. When they see you at work, they need to say, oh, hey, I'm sorry, brother, I didn't mean to say that. When they see you at work, they need to recognize that you are a Christian, not because you're over there saying you are, but because the life that you're living, the way that you're walking, we need to live it. We don't just need to say it. Amen. So we must not let our social contacts influence us for evil. Rather, we should influence them for good. Of necessity, we must limit our relationship with those who revel in sin, lest they lead us astray. I don't want to be led astray by the world or by worldly people or worldly things. We should be friendly, love, smile, reach out, and show concern, but be cheerful not to yoke ourselves with unbelievers. Let me say that again. We should be friendly, we should love, we should smile and reach out. That means when you go to the restaurant, be nice to your waiter, your waitress. Amen. Let them see Christ through you. When you're at the checkout counter at Walmart, be nice to that person that's checking out. It's sad in this area that we have a bad reputation, not necessarily in Nacogdoches as much, but as Lufkin. Oh, that's them stuck-up Pentecostals. Oh, that's them. And that's what they say. It should be that, hey, man, that's them loving people. Hey, let me wait on them. They're kind. Hey, let me. But it's not. Why? Because we haven't shown a smile, a love, or compassion to anybody. But yet we've been rude and ugly and ungodly, and they ain't seen Christ through us. And then at the end of it, you may want to give them a church card. They're probably like, what's this? I don't know. They go here? It sounds funny, but it's so true. And so be careful not to yoke ourselves with unbelievers. Church life. Around every church, there are two basic crowds. The larger one consists of spiritual, dedicated, holy Christians. The other consists of hypocrites, backsliders, and the lukewarm. It says at every church, I don't want to be a hypocrite, a backslider, lukewarm, but I want to be living right for God. We have to make the choice of which group we wish to emulate and be a part of. You are on your honor here. No one can set your values for you in this area. You have full liberty to choose to gossip, talebearers, and unruly individuals make churches their haunts. If you are weak and seek the low level of life, someone will furnish you a model. If that's what you want, they're going to make you fit right in. They're going to give you that model. If you are strong, your sights high, and your ideals great, you will be able to walk among the great of time and eternity, for they are found in the church. Scaling a spiritual Everest will be your challenge as you ascend where they are, for they are like Nehemiah on the wall and will never come down where you are. You must go to them. I want to set my sights higher. I want to keep marching upward. I want to keep going upward. I don't want to go down. Those people at the top, they're not going to turn back. They're living for God. They want to keep climbing, and I want to keep going up with them. Amen. In Nehemiah 6:3 is where the scripture found. From adolescence through adulthood, each person consistently faces the decision of communication and manners. Only you within the inner sanctum of your heart can make the daily choices of what and who you will be. I hope you choose wisely. I want to be living for God, not just by name, but by my lifestyle. It's easy to say I'm a Christian and sit on a pew and come to church, but it's another thing to live it. So I will not delude you. There is a price to pay. Selectivity is hard. Principles and ethics are high priced. Character and reputation are hard won wars. I challenge you to accept responsibility and get involved in your church programs, services, and ministries. Get involved in prayer. Today in prayer, it felt like a wall. I'm just being honest and transparent. And it felt like we were just hitting that wall. And we couldn't go any further. And I'm like, Lord, help us. Help us. We need to lift our voice. We don't need to be ashamed to pray out loud. We don't need to worry about who's next to us or what they're going to hear. It's okay. That means they ain't praying. You just keep on praying. They're too busy listening. I mean, so don't be scared to lift your voice. Don't be scared to give God your all. And so only you within the inner sanctum of your heart can make the daily choices of what and who we will be. I will not delude you. There is a price to pay. Selectivity is hard. Principles and ethics are high priced. Character and reputation are hard-won wars. I challenge you to accept the responsibility and get involved in your church program, services, and ministries. Be dependable and true. Be dependable and true. Be dependable and true, faithful and loyal. And remember, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I want to make it to heaven with you. I don't want you to go alone. I don't want to go alone, but I want to make heaven with you. But it's going to take a made-up mind that you're going to live right, walk right, do right, act right, and that your character is going to be right. Because I've heard it said before, too, about so-called Christians from other folks. So I don't do business with them. They're not honest. Oh, I don't do this with them because they're not true. Oh, don't believe him. He don't stick to his word. I don't want it to be said of me that way. But I want to live right, act right, and have a good character, and I want to make it to heaven. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. Thank you for this wonderful day. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to keep your hand upon us as we travel home. We thank you for this lesson. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to dismiss in this way. Let's go to heaven. How? Together. Amen. Up here is a lesson. There's also some questions if you want to follow up on questions later on. If you want to check back in with me if you did it, I do have an answer key. Or you can get with Brother Will. He has the answer keys as well. And we'd love to go over it with you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet one another.